Our closing meditation for the retreat is Learning from the Saints of the Catholic Church. As we come to the close of our retreat on the Church, it seems only proper to arrive at some conclusion. And the conclusion is not only or mainly in mind. As Ignatius taught his sons, the purpose of the spiritual exercises is to make resolutions of the will. The mind concludes, the will resolves. In other words, we are, during the last 8 days, to have reflected both on God's will for us and, shall I say, on our will toward God. How generous have we been, and all of us must say, we can, we should, and we want to be more generous. We saw that except for the Catholic Church, we would not even know what holiness means. And we sure would not have the necessary grace to become holy. Consequently, in this closing conference of the retreat, it seems proper to reflect prayerfully on one of the most effective ways the Church has given us to become more closely united with God, in other words, more holy, and become more effective channels of grace to others, which means more effectively apostolic. And this is to learn from the men, women, and even children whom the Church honors as her saints. My plan, therefore, in this conference is to go over the 7 capital virtues, which are the moral counterparts to what we traditionally call the 7 capital sins. The 7 capital sins are the 7 principal sinful tendencies that all of us, with our fallen, I like to say falling, human natures, we all have 7 principal pronenesses to sin. They then, these pronenesses to sin, are the Church's way of telling us what are the 7 corresponding virtues on which we should labor. And here, no two of us are the same. In fact, I dare say no one of us is the same through life. Some have more of a tendency towards one of these sins. Others have other tendencies. We all have all seven. Is that clear? Let there be no doubt. Period. And during the retreat, with God's grace, we were to have, and we have, I'm sure, seen what are my particular pronesses to indulging my own self-will, will of God, to the will of God, which is simply a definition of sin. And therefore, what virtue or virtues do I need to especially concentrate in my life? And it means even today, compared to, say, yesterday or tomorrow, we're exposed to different situations, people we meet. With some people, we'll have to work, we will have to work on our patience. With others, we'll have to work especially on our humility. And so on down the line. Even as Teresa of Avila tells us, the seasons of the year, the weather outside, can affect certain tendencies. We've got to watch, and corresponding virtues we have to practice. Why look to the saints? Because, and this is part of the infallible teaching of the Church of God, we believe, and this is, I repeat, our faith, that those whom the Church honors with sainthood, besides being sure they are in the glory of God in heaven, that their lives are imitable, and the virtues they practiced are the virtues that we should strive to follow. And being human beings like us, they give us both the hope and the encouragement, as Ignatius, rolling around in bed after he was wounded in battle, the last thing he wanted was to be bedridden, but he had no choice. He was immobilized. Said Ignatius to himself, if Francis can do it, I can do it. If Dominic can do it, I can do it. So, what do? We look at a series of saints in sequence, and we ask ourselves, how does one saint after another, following the sequence of the seven capital virtues, how should this saint enlighten and inspire us so that we too might become holy and indeed sanctified? We've talked, by way of introduction, about the seven capital sins. All sinful inclinations can be reduced to these seven. Animal exercise of holiness can be reduced to the seven contrary virtues. As we've said, not all people have the same degree of sinful inclinations, nor do all people have the same degree of need of the corresponding virtues, but we all need all the virtues. In my 47 years in the priesthood, I've never done this. No harm in doing it for the first time. First then, the virtue corresponding to the opposite sinful tendency. Then, a text from one of the saints and the source, then a few words of a hope useful commentary. First, humility, which is the obverse of the capital sinful tendency to pride. It is listed first because it is fundamental. Quote Saint Bernard. He says, great graces cannot be obtained without humility, so that those who are to have these great graces must be humiliated. That they may be made worthy by humility to receive grace. When you yourself experience humiliation, you should take it as a sure sign that some grace is in store for you. Unquote, Saint Bernard, from his sermon on the Canticle of Canticles. Thanks, Saint Bernard, thanks. The road to humility is humiliations. You don't begin to build an edifice of sanctity except on the hard, rocky ground, foundation of humility. And there is no humility without humiliation. In effect, Bernard is telling us, relax. Don't run away from humiliations. Don't be silly. They are the normal, divinely designed ways of producing humility, without which then there's no progress in virtue. And there is even a, you might say, a divine correlation. The more humiliated you are, the more graces God has in store for you. Gee, Lord, I didn't know that. he tells us. Now that you know, stop complaining. Number one. Number two, chastity. Clearly, chastity is the contrary to lust, the second most powerful drive in fallen human nature. Pride in the mind, lust in the body. This time, it's St. Ignatius of Antioch. Remember when he died, 107 A.D. Quote Ignatius, "If anyone is able to persevere in chastity to the honor of the flesh of the Lord, let him do so in all humility." If anyone is able to persevere in chastity to the honor of the flesh of the Lord, let him do so in all humility. That's St. Ignatius of Antioch's letter to Polycarp, one martyr on the way to his martyr, writing to another martyr. What's Ignatius telling us? That chastity is something to persevere in. But notice the motive of perseverance: to the honor of the flesh of the Lord. God became man for a multitude of reasons. One reason was to sanctify the human body, to teach us that our bodies are holy and not to be squandered or desecrated by unchastity. But then, says Ignatius, by all means, persevere in chastity, but an imperative, do so in all humility. Because there is no chastity unless a person is humble. And the surest way that God will bring down the cedars of Lebanon is by allowing them to lose mastery over their flesh. Third, gentleness, the virtue contrary to the sinful tendency to anger. Here, by way of exception, I've got two short quotations from the same saint, Saint Francis de Sales. Says Francis, "He who can preserve gentleness amid pains and peace amid worry and a multitude of affairs is almost perfect." Unquote Francis de Sales. He who can preserve gentleness amid pains and peace amid worry and a multitude of affairs is almost perfect. Thence, in his letter to persons in religious life. But I didn't think I should skip the next. It's a very short quotation. Again, Frères de Sales. Nothing appeases an enraged elephant so much as the sight of a little lamb. Isn't that neat? Nothing appeases an enraged elephant so much as the sight of a little lamb. That's in Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life. Over the years, I've had occasion to face enraged elephants. I'm not sure what little lamb I showed myself. All I know is, quoting Frères de Sales, there's no sure way of appeasing even a giant of an animal and human beings in rage can be angry elephants. I tell people, keep the faith cool. Keep your mouth shut. There's not a quotation from any saint. All I know is it works. Number four, poverty, which is the obverse of the powerful, sinful drive to avarice or covetousness. Had a variety of options. You never guess what I decided on. Just two words by Saint Dominic as he was dying. His last counsel to his brethren was, possess poverty. Possess poverty. That was a no book. Those were his dying words. All the wealth, the riches of a person who really loves is enamored by, in a word, who possesses poverty. It is not coincidentally the first of Christ's Beatitudes. Nor is it coincidental that when God became man, nothing happens by chance, surely. He is being born in a stable. It was not coincidence. To be wrapped in rags and to be placed into an animal's trough. Only one danger, how well I know, to think this is poetry or rhetoric. It's neither. It's our faith. Possess poverty. And then, but only then, you have access to the endless riches of the infinite God. Number 5, charity, which is the obverse of the capital sinful tendency to envy. Envy, as we know, is the sadness we are all tempted to feel when someone has what we like, succeeds where we have failed. It is charity, which is not just its obverse, but the only remedy for envy. This time, says Saint Cyprian, martyr, died in the early 3rd century. Quote Saint Cyprian, charity is the bond of fraternity, the foundation of peace, the mainstay and security of unity, which is greater than both hope and faith. Which excels both good works and martyrdom. Which will abide with us always. Eternal with God in the kingdom of heaven. I think it's worth repeating. Charity is the bond of fraternity, the foundation of peace, the mainstay and security of unity, which is greater than both hope and faith, which excels both good works and martyrdom, which will abide with us always, eternal with God in the kingdom of heaven. And that's Saint Cyprian in his little work on patience. As we know, charity, first towards God, loving Him above all things, especially the one thing which is always in competition with God, ourselves, and loves others, hear it, out of love for God. No one can be loved unless they are lovable. But human beings, as we painfully well know, may not have in themselves the kind of lovable qualities to which, at least humanly speaking, we can respond. Oh, but God loves them. My faith tells me God sees in them what I don't see. My faith, therefore, moves me to love what only my faith would prompt me to love, what by all human calculation is not lovable. sixth, shall we call it? Capital virtue, labor. The converse of sloth. Now with St. John Chrysostom says, Chrysostom, labor is our portion, lest we should make this world our rest and not hope for the hereafter, unquote. Labor is our portion, lest we should make this world our rest and not hope for the hereafter. That's from one of St. John Chrysostom's homilies. Over the years, quoting from the Old Testament, man is born to labor as a bird is born to fly. And the hardest labor, let me tell you, is not using the muscles of the body. The worst laziness I know, the worst laziness is of the mind, and laziness of the will. To pray as we should takes work. Sleep is no substitute for ecstasy. I've taught for too many years not to know the laziest part of human nature is the mind. Oh, sitting bright, ostensibly hanging on to every word the teacher is saying, ostensibly. I call on them. They didn't even hear me. I repeat, then they hear me. Or somebody nudges them. You're being called up. Never heard the question. They don't know the answer. I mean this with all my heart. The hardest work we have to do in life is to think. And most human beings much rather would dream. My favorite definition of laziness of mind. Number seven, abstinence, which is the virtue that we are to work at to overcome our natural tendency towards gluttony. Again, I have two statements from the same saint. I couldn't pass them by. First, both from St. Augustine. Total abstinence is easier than perfect moderation. Total abstinence is easier than perfect moderation. In one of St. Augustine's letters to the laity, moderation, prudence, care, watchfulness in the use of bodily food and drink. Again, St. Augustine, subdue your flesh by fasting and abstinence. Subdue your flesh by fasting and abstinence. Again, St. Augustine, in one of his letters, what are we being told? Among the tendencies to which we are all sinfully prone is indulgence of our body by food and drink. And it's not only in overindulgence in the amount consumed. It is in the delicacy, the catering well. The very word catering has become a standard word in the English language. Catering, that's right. Catering to our natural human appetite. Scientific studies made of what would appeal to the palate of certain people, even certain times of the day. I never thought I'd live to see this in print, but there it was. There's about one quart of a French wine, price $629. And I remind myself of the thousands of starving children walking the streets of Calcutta. Lord, have mercy. All of us. You look at ourselves and ask ourselves, how generous am I in not just mastering my flesh, but in sacrificing the natural desires of the body for food and drink in order to unite myself with Jesus Christ in his dying agony on the cross, cried out, "I thirst." I have a closing statement of Saint Jerome. Says Jerome, what saint ever won his crown without first contending for it, struggling, fighting, battling with the world, our own flesh, and the evil spirit? All of this is locked up in the invitation that our Lord gives us to imitate Him. As St. Paul told the first Christians, imitate me as I am imitating Christ. That is the role of the saints in the Catholic Church, to give us the illumination of mind to know what we should do to become more and more like the Master who calls us. An inspiration for our wills. Oh, so this is how you do it. Yes, this is how you become a saint. Thought I'd bring this ponderous sacramentary. And read for the closing of our meditation the opening prayer for the Mass of All Saints. Let us pray. God our Father, source of all holiness, the work of your hands is manifest in your saints. The beauty of your truth is reflected in their faith. May we, who aspire to have part in their joy, be filled with the Spirit that blessed their lives, so that having shared their faith on earth, we may also know their peace in your kingdom. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.